Everybody, welcome to Podcast Insider. Of course, I've got my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell, on the line with me. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Doing good. Todd, how's things down in Columbus?
Oh, we're busy. Busy. And, no snow down here, but I hear you're getting a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of this perpetual light snow. It's been going on for a couple of weeks here, but that's normal.
Well, it keeps everything nice and beautiful and white when you're getting a little bit every day. It doesn't get dirty from the cars driving by and so forth. But anyway, for some of you that are not dealing with snow, be thankful. But hey, we got a little bit of news for you today. We're going to talk about what's going on with some best practices. We're going to talk about some blueberry-specific news, about some events we're attending. Of course, we got an interview with Tommy Savoia. It's a great interview I did with a young man that's just started his show recently. And of course, we've got some support stuff as well. But, Mike, here from the Convo by Design studio, we have fun and we've got room for some new interviews. So if people are looking to be interviewed on Podcast Insider, we'd love to have you let us know that you'd like to be on the show. And you can either email me, Todd at blueberry.com, Mike at blueberry.com, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. And we'll get you slated to and scheduled to be on the Insider. We got about a month's worth of interviews left. And then we're into, basically new folks that we haven't talked to in the past. So
yeah, don't make us interview each other.
Yeah, that's probably true. And maybe we'll even schedule a time here soon, get our Blueberry Pro team to come in and do a special segment on that as well. What's going on with Gimlet Academy? And I think this is a Spotify-only podcast, right?
Yeah, it's a Spotify-specific podcast that Gimlet Media and Spotify are putting together. And it kind of is supposed to give you the inside information of how Gimlet makes their podcasts and how you can do that as well. So I think it's an experiment on their part to see if Spotify-only podcasts are successful.
Interesting. So you'll be able to get some insights on the on the Gimlet way of creating shows. Of course, they're known for a lot of great podcasts that are out there today. Now, Mike, I haven't watched MTV in many, many years. I don't think they're a music video place anymore. It's more about reality TV and that type of stuff. But I guess they're going to be adding podcasts for five of their TV shows.
Yeah, specifically MTV in the UK, they're launching five podcast series that are going to be tied to their popular shows. I haven't watched MTV in a long time either. Like you said, they're probably not much about music television, but neither is History Channel about history. So, and I did hear they're doing some podcasting too, but we don't have that on the slate today. But so it'll be interesting. First of the new series is called Celebrity X on the Beach, whatever that means. But that's one of their shows, apparently. And they've got a few more of those coming up.
Awesome. Of course, right now we're in a highly politically charged season with everything going on here in the United States. So there's, two political shows that are out. One is by Senator Ted Cruz, who started podcasting, and it's a show called The Verdict, which is kind of interesting if you consider everything. And then there's another by Chris Matthews of MSNBC. He has a new podcast as well. It's called So You Want to Be President. So I'm sure both of these will be very entertaining and probably very politically charged.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And like I said, for equal time, I put them both in here.
Yeah, of course. So so lots of political stuff. I'm just wondering, though, how much influence does podcasting have in politics? I think, are people listening to political shows? And if they are they just listening to shows that's in the genre or the, if you're conservative or you're independent or if you're on the liberal side? I just wonder if, you're just listening to the same stuff that you're aligned with.
Yeah, well, it's kind of the same thing, on Facebook or whatever. Most of your friends will probably be of whatever political bent you are. And so, yeah, I can't imagine that somebody that's conservative would listen to liberal podcasting and vice versa, but you never know. And then there's some politicians that have been on mainstream shows. Bernie Sanders was on Joe Rogan, And believe it or not, it was an interesting interview. You know, whether you like Bernie or not, he's an entertaining guy.
You know, one thing is, I just wonder if there's any political shows out there that have a person on the right, person on the left that, you know, are basically co-hosting a single show and they duke it out. I don't know. I don't know if our audience knows. Maybe they can send us one. So it's always good to hear diverse opinions across the board. But hey, I just want to give a shout out to my co-host of the New Media Show, Rob Greenlee. Today's birthday. I don't even know how old he is, but happy birthday. Would you say older than dirt? Is that what you said? But anyway, happy birthday to Rob. So I guess also here, let's just kind of jump into some best practices here and talking about prepping your guest. Yeah. Before the interview. And, you know, what are some of the things that you tell guests, Mike?
Well, a lot of times I tell them, you know, first off, don't worry about it. It's just a microphone. And, you know, just relax. We're having a conversation. And a lot of times people, you know, that are not used to being on the microphone, especially. Now, most of the people we interview are podcasters, so they're used to it. But, you know, people that I've interviewed in other shows or whatever, you know, I always just say, relax, it's just a conversation, you know, no, I don't have any set questions, at least, you know, I generally don't. I have kind of an outline of what I want to talk about, but, you know, just main thing is I tell them, you know, relax, you know, pretend we're sitting across the bar from one another, and we're just going to have a conversation, and that usually works out pretty well, and it usually works out without too much editing.
You know, one thing I always say to guests is that if you can be on a wired connection, in other words, if you can plug into a LAN, LAN cable, that's always best versus be on Wi-Fi, especially if we're doing a Skype interview like Mike and I are doing today. Or I also tell them that, you know, oftentimes it's even if you have earbuds, that's better than using the mic on the computer because it's less echoing, and plus you don't get feedback through the speakers as well. So I think that's kind of the main things, and some of the same points you had is I would definitely tell them to, you know, it's just a conversation. Some people like to have a pre-call before an interview. I typically don't like to do those because it seems to always kind of affect the way the show's going to go. But I definitely don't do pre-written questions that I submit to the person I'm interviewing. But at the same time, I think this can go a little bit further about your prep. You know, if you're prepping for a guest, you need to do a little research yourself. You need to go and, see if you can find a Wikipedia, see if you can find, listen to a couple of interviews they've done. And I always find if you do that, you may find one or two topics there that'll spur additional conversation. When you get them on the interview and what really is kind of blows them away, they'll know that you've actually done your homework.
Oh, yeah. You know, you can find out a lot about, you know, your interviewee ahead of time. And like you said, you know, listen to, you know, some other interviews that they might have done, if they've done any. Sometimes they haven't. But a lot of times you'll hear an interview with somebody and you'll wonder why the interviewer didn't ask that question. So that's the, you know, thing you might want to put a note about. But like I said, listen to your guest. Rather than, you know, if you ask a question, listen to them rather than try to think up your next question. Because a lot of times you get the next question from their answer.
Yeah, absolutely. If one thing leads to another, I always have a few fallbacks to go to if the guest is a little dry. So that's always something that is, you know, something to be prepared for sure. I think too, Mike, is, you know, I always tell guests, you know, if you can be in a room where there's not a lot of activity. In other words, you know, doing an interview from an office where there's people talking and activity going around, that sometimes is a challenge. Even, you know, I've interviewed a lot of people in hotel rooms when they've been on travel. And I say, hey, just, you know, your hotel room is perfect for doing an interview. And if, you know, turn your, you know, try to not necessarily be pointing right at a wall, but, you know, try to keep the acoustics the best as possible, you know, someone doing an interview actually from sitting on a hotel bed works really well, especially if they have their earbuds and they're just kind of propped up. That bed kind of absorbs all that noise that a room that isn't built acoustically will give you some advantages. So really, I think it's about the environment try to help to get the best sound as well.
And turn off the air conditioning temporarily. Yeah. You know, usually interviews don't go long enough to roast you out of there.
Yeah, I've had to, you know, some air conditionings, you know, I stay in a lot of hotels and the air conditioning and heating units can be really noisy. And that off switch, you know, basically you start an interview and you're halfway through and, you know, that thing comes online and you're like, oh, man, hang on a second. And you go over and flip the switch off and then you come back and then it's again, you kind of got to pick up where the, you know, where that interruption happened. And it's always disruptive to a to an interview. But I think making your guest at ease when you're, you know, don't, you know, get on the call or whatever you're, or you know, if they're right across from you, you know, take 5 minutes and just, you know, chit chat. Don't, no pressure. And you, you know, you may find that leads right into the interview. I've done discussions before where we're just having a chat and 20 minutes goes by and, you know, we're already into the interview and they didn't even realize it. So sometimes that works out as well. But, you know, always set people at ease as much as possible.
Yeah. And like I said, I don't do a whole lot of prepping the guests other than just those few things. And otherwise we just get on and start talking. A lot of times, one other thing is you'll start talking to them, hit record. You might get some gems before the official interview starts.
Yeah, but make sure you clear that.
Oh,
you
yeah,
can
definitely,
use it.
Definitely.
Yeah. So one thing, too, that I have found, if you're doing stand-up interviews and you're at a conference or something, you're trying to get an interview with someone, you know, don't, and especially if you are using a single mic, you know, don't let go of the mic, you know, and and what will happen, though, is some people get a little weirded out about a microphone. They're not used to having a microphone really kind of shoved in their face per se. So, you know, keep that in mind because I've had people back away from the mic and oftentimes I've had to say, you know, don't worry about the mic, speak into it so we can hear you. And just encourage them to, you know, not to worry about the microphone itself. But some people do get a little leery. It's just like they're not used to having, you know, it's like their space is being invaded. So I have to be cognizant of that with folks. And sometimes you may not be able to really overcome that. So the interview may need a little bit of editing afterwards because the audio may be a little lower because they've stood away from the mic a little bit more than you wish they would have. And at the same point, that's where that back and forth in the beginning, where you're having kind of just this easy conversation will ease people into when you're doing a stand-up, not to have them, you know, have this recoil reaction from a microphone.
Yeah, and yeah, I like the one about, you know, don't let them have the microphone because sometimes they won't give it up.
Yeah, you won't get it back, especially if it's in an event where someone is trying to, you know, it's at a trade show or something like that, and they're trying to promote their products and services. They'll take you through a tour of their booth or their, you know, and you will get stuff that you will never be able to use because you've lost control of the interview. All right, let's talk about some stuff going on in with the Blueberry and where we're going to be upcoming. The first thing off is the Podcast Movement Evolutions event over the Valentine's Day weekend, leading up to and over the Valentine's Day weekend in Los Angeles. I'm hearing they're almost sold out. Well, they're sold out on a couple of tracks. They only have one track left. So if you are considering going to Evolutions, it may be too late to get the track that you want. But definitely think about that. And we'll be out in Los Angeles. Jeff and I will be out there and talking with customers along with Toby from the Blueberry Pro team. He's going to be out as well. So you can learn about our Blueberry Pro services. He's coming in from the UK. So really excited about that. And then Spark. The Spark Christian Podcast Conference in Houston will be at, I'll be at that event the following weekend and presenting there along with a lot of other folks in the podcasting space. So that's kind of on the immediate horizon. Of course, PodFest is not too far out, believe it or not, in March. That's down in Orlando. So, Mike, what kind of swag do you like at conferences?
Oh, yeah. Well, I keep telling everybody they need to do hats. Baseball hats. Baseball hats. I wear hats. A lot of people don't. So I guess I'm picky. But yeah, we're kind of looking. What kind of swag would you like to see us have at our booths at these conferences?
Jeff and Mackenzie were huddled here, matter of fact, in the studio yesterday afternoon, working out some swag ideas. And I think we've got some new stuff that we're going to be bringing, and excited to kind of share that. Of course, we're going to have some of our really, really cool buttons that we've had.
Yeah.
Those are worth a visit to the booth whatsoever. And of course, if you are a 1, 5, or 10 year podcaster, and you're a actual customer of ours, we've got some very cool collector pins as well.
We need to come up with a 15-year pin this year too, by the way.
Yeah, there's only a few of us at 15. So what would we order, 10 of those? Or?
Yeah, well, I need one.
No, that's true too. So we'll have to take a 10 and a 5 or a 10,
yeah,
and we'll take a 5 and cut it apart and glue the 5 onto it. So.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Get a Sharpie out.
Yeah, so if you have a swag idea for us, drop us an email here, todd@blueberry.com, mike@blueberry.com, specifically Mackenzie, because
yeah, she's working. Takes care of that.
Yeah, she's working with Jeff. All right, so next up is our interview with Tommy Savoia, the Cube Command podcast. I've known Tommy. Actually, Tommy went to an event with me, and he's a great – his father's a podcaster. And
second gen
podcaster. But anyway, we'll kick it off here with Tommy Savoia from the Cube Command podcast. Hey, Podcaster Insider family, I want to welcome Tommy Savoia to the Podcast Insider Show. And, you know, Tommy, you and I have known each other for quite a while, haven't we?
Yes, sir, we have. I believe I interviewed you back in, I want to say, 2017 or 2018, somewhere around in between that, for a project I did for my senior project in high school.
Yeah, that I remember that. And you, if I remember correctly, from that interview, did you not get some award or something specific happened, right?
Something specific did happen. I ended up getting a perfect score on that, which I was so ecstatic about. I didn't expect that. I was like, wow, that's a 100 right there. I interviewed you for a project I was doing about the industry of podcasting itself, where it's been and where it's going. And that was such a fun project to do because it wasn't like I was researching something I didn't know about. I had to start from scratch. I had all the information I needed at my fingertips. It was such a great experience.
Yeah, I do remember that now. So it was probably 100 interviews ago. But for the audience's clarification, why don't you introduce yourself and give them a little 411 about you?
Well, my name is Tommy Savoia. I am the host of the Cube Command podcast. It's a pop culture gaming movie show I do with my friend Nick. I started back in 2016 after starting a couple more podcasts. Before that, I decided I want to create a new show with a brand new identity. And it's a lot of fun. But at the same time, the podcast itself kind of documents my own learning process with podcasting itself. We've gone through many different formats, host formats, time frames for the show, hosting. It had kind of a rocky start in the beginning, but I like to say I'm working it out now and I'm in a lot more stable position than I was before, especially to produce podcasts. I started the show back when I was in high school, and it's ever since then I've been trying to grow it as much as possible. And it's been changing in accordance to how my lifestyle has been changing as I've been growing older.
So are you now, I'm assuming you're out of high school. Where are you at right now? And can I ask, what is your age?
Oh yeah. Yes, sir. You may. I'm not in high school anymore. I am currently studying at CPCC for my associate in arts and hoping to transfer to a 4-year after that. Nice. So yeah, I'm getting somewhere, hopefully.
Awesome. So, you know, one thing that's unique is that you grew up in a podcasting family. Your dad and I go almost all the way back to the beginning of the podcasting space. So you really kind of had this, the podcasting bug set into you early, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Growing up, I was exposed to a lot of podcasting. My dad would set up a studio back in Orlando, Florida. And do a lot of recording there. He made his own makeshift studio. I think he set a tarp or a blanket like around his studio for sound design at the time. And moving to North Carolina, he started up the Force Field podcast. And I like to say that's when I really kind of started learning more about podcasting, because he made it his mission to teach me what podcasting was and make sure I was familiar with it. Because podcasting being such a grassroots industry at the time, you say podcast to someone and they didn't know what you were talking about. They knew what, you know, YouTube and the iPod had become popular. So people were becoming familiar with it, but it wasn't a household name, I want to say, at the time. But fortunately for me, my dad made sure to educate me about that. And one of my birthdays, I got one of those Lego MP3 players.
Sure.
When I was about maybe 7 or 8. And so I went down and downloaded a bunch of podcasts. I would listen to Nintendo Pulse, Derez by Lord Hannison. I remember growing up, I listened to a lot of the Crazy Dave show that was stationed in Iowa. So I listened to a lot of podcasts growing up. And when you're exposed to something a lot growing up, you want to do it yourself. You want to make it part of your lifestyle. And so slowly I started developing my own taste for podcasts and wanted to start one myself, which is how I got here.
You know, I think it's interesting because you are probably the first second gen podcaster that I've interviewed. You know, you interviewed me before, but that I've ever interviewed. So I think this is unique in that sense because, you know, I remember your dad doing the Force Field and talking to him, and we've been, you know, part of a community over at Tech Podcast Network. And just right. kind of having, you know, this internal discussions and then seeing each other at conferences and, you know, different events. And then I remember at some point, I don't remember when exactly, maybe it was after that first interview when I met you. I think we met at CES, didn't we? Is that where we met?
CES? I do not remember attending CES. I believe we met in person at... Were you at PodFest 2019, right?
Yeah, so it may have been PodFest, but I know we met.
Yeah,
it's hard. My apologies, but you know, I know we met in person, and so for me, it's nice to see that you know, a little of this podcasting actually rubbed off, and it made you wanted to do your own show. So,
oh yeah.
So, getting back to the podcast you're doing, tell me a little bit about the Cube Command. What type of a show is it, and give me a little sense of the genres you're covering.
Well, Cube Command is a geek news show. Growing up, I've always been a big nerd. I love movies. I love Star Wars, gaming, superheroes. You know, I just love doing like reading and playing those kinds of things. When I wanted to start a podcast, I wanted to talk about something I was familiar with. Because, I mean, I can't start a podcast on something I'm not familiar with, like fishing or woodworking.
Sure.
You know, geek stuff, I can talk about that for days. So I wanted to get my voice out there. So I started a prototype show, in a sense. Ended up becoming a prototype show for Cube Command. That was called Nintendo Teens. At the time, I was about 13, because I started back in 2013. And over the course of that, my dad would teach me how to... where to find hosting for a podcast, how to brand your show, how to create templates, create an intro and put it into the template, and basically used it as a way to teach me how to use software like Audacity. And when I started the show, I originally wanted to bring my friend Nick on as the co-host because we had been friends since elementary school. We were very close, and he was my first choice for the co-host. Didn't end up working out because of the environment at the time. We weren't really close to each other. We couldn't really record reliably. So I brought my sister on, and she did a fantastic job as co-host, despite not being as into podcasting as I was. But as time went on, we weren't able to find the time to record a lot, just because school had to take priority.
Sure.
And by that time, I was transitioning into high school, so a lot of my time was taken up. That show ended up, in a sense, pod fading after about 20 or so episodes. And about a year later, after it pod faded in 2016, I got back into it, in a sense. I looked at it and I told myself, you know, I kind of miss doing that. I want to do it again. So I formulated a new show because I didn't want to stick with the Nintendo Teens name. I'm 20 now, and by the time I turned 20, that show, the name wouldn't make any sense because I wouldn't be a teenager anymore, right? So I wanted to create a name that would I could expand the branding on, maybe in the future, maybe branch out to different shows, or when I get older, the name isn't going to be obsolete anymore. And I always loved the GameCube. GameCube was one of my favorite consoles ever. I had a blast with that system growing up. So I named the Cube Command after my love of the GameCube. And I called Nick up. I was like, hey, you want to do this? And at the time, we couldn't really record the podcast, I guess, together at the time, because, again, the situation was kind of weird. So we started a YouTube channel and kind of did stuff like that, starting off under the same name, Cube Command. But the podcast itself, I started. I started it to kind of recharge myself, teach myself again how to do podcasting, and I guess get more serious with it. So, and it kind of, if you, I look back in some of my history of my show, and I'm thinking, you know, I noticed that every 13 episodes, I would have a format change, because the first 13 episodes is just me. And that was when I did the interview with you. And I also interviewed a indie game developer, Jonathan Holmes, on episode 9. And then a couple episodes later, I changed the format again. I started using Discord more, and I found out, hey, you know, this is actually a really, this is a good app for contacting people and being able to record podcasts with. So with some of my friends that I had from high school, we went ahead and started recording together. I brought some of them as co-hosts. It ended up turning into a rotating cast of hosts on the show. And that went for about 13 episodes. And after the 26th episode, that was when my dad and I went to the 5th annual PodFest 2019. And at PodFest 2019, I attended a lot of the panels. I got to meet some great people. I saw you in person. That was cool. And it kind of changed my perspective in a way of podcasting. At the time, I had been very I've been very loose about it. I was kind of doing it in my spare time. It was something that I couldn't do consistently on a weekly or even bi-weekly basis. And attending some of those panels and meeting a lot of professionals in the industry, it in a way sparked a new drive for me to take my podcast a little more seriously. Mm-hmm. I went ahead and I came back. I was like, you know what? I want to start doing this weekly. I want to make it more consistent. I want to learn more from my experience with podcasting. And so that forced me to make some hard choices of how I'm going to reformat the show once again. Now, going back to Discord, I think Discord's a great app, and it's great for what it does, sort of like how Skype does. But it's given my setup and the equipment I had, I couldn't really do multi-track recording on Discord. It just, Discord would come in as a singular audio output, and it ended up compiling both my voice and my co-host voice into one track. It just made it such a hassle to edit, because I'd have to go in and find out, okay, who's too quiet, who's too loud, am I too loud?
There's a solution for that. Ophonic. I do single track recordings for every interview.
Yes, I did try Ophonic, and Ophonic does work phenomenally. That is a good app, but at the time, we were recording about, I don't know, roughly 75-minute episodes.
Sure.
And it takes a while to render those, and all my co-hosts were using different kinds of microphones. And Ophonic does work well, but the thing is, just given the setup, because some of them didn't have podcast-dedicated microphones.
Sure.
It kind of meshed, kind of weird, I guess, in a way.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I was able to pick up a pod mic when I was at PodFest. And I was like, you know what? I have two dynamic microphones, and I have the Tascam Mini Studio that I bought the year prior. So I told Nick, hey, we're doing the YouTube channel together. Why don't we merge the formats of the YouTube channel and the podcast to create one consistent format? And then we'll be able to do me as a host and you as a co-host like we originally intended back in 2013. He's like, yeah, sure. Okay. So we went ahead and changed the format once again, with better audio quality, where it was I'm the host and he's the co-host, and we changed it to a weekly format so we could pump it out consistently. The thing is, I learned that doing a weekly format, you're not always going to have the time to record long episodes like you used to. I used to be able to sit back and record like hour and a half long episodes with some of my friends, but it's not really feasible on a weekly basis, especially since I'm already in college and I have a job, and it's hard to juggle a lot of those things. So what ended up happening was we had to shorten the episodes. And I'm going to take a little track back to when I first started. My dad uses Libsyn, and I used to use Libsyn. And at the time, I was looking for a different format for my show when I wanted to shorten down the episodes to maybe half an hour or so. So that's when I found Blueberry. I looked more into Blueberry because I'd been to a lot of the PodFests. I've seen a lot of the advertisements for it. And of course, I was in contact with you, so I was familiar with it. So I learned more about the packages, and I was like, okay, yeah, let's go ahead and transition to Blueberry because they have what I need. So after transitioning to Blueberry, I was able to have a hard limit on the amount of time I record for each episode. And that was kind of a blessing in disguise because it forced me to put a timer on the episodes when I record instead of just talking endlessly
right. And
saying, okay, at this time, I'm going to stop because I don't want to have to drown myself in editing work later. And it really helped.
It's an interesting strategy.
Yeah, it really is. Sometimes you have to have some discipline when recording stuff. And you know, this is something my dad tells me all the time. He says, you know, when he's doing his Saturday Night Wine stream on Drink with Rick, he goes, I got into this whole discussion. I started a new one, and suddenly I'm talking for 3 hours, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, yeah, I know how that feels. But,
go ahead. How is the show then, you're going through and you're making changes, and every podcaster does that to a certain extent.
Right.
And then, you know, in your circumstances have changed, so that allowed you to, you know, you adjusted as you went to school and your job and so forth. How has your audience, what's your audience reaction been? How's their feedback been from the show?
Well, when I first started, I had a very, very small audience. I mean, that's expected, and that's perfectly fine. And as I changed the podcast the first time for the rotating cast of hosts, it kind of picked up steam a little bit. And I was like, wow, okay, I'm getting more downloads. But at the same time, it's also costing a lot of my time and energy because it was getting hard to juggle the huge task of editing single track recordings that are about an hour and a half long. And I had to make a hard choice of if I want to keep producing this podcast more consistently and I want to make a better sounding product, I have to change the format again. And I know this is going to cost a huge chunk of my audience because I knew it was going to probably alienate a chunk of my audience that was already familiar with what I was doing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to make the decision because of necessity.
Sure.
So after I changed it for the second time using the dynamic microphones with Nick, there was a significant drop in downloads, and I was like, okay, yeah, I kind of saw this coming.
So to clarify this, you said you had a drop in downloads from the change just in microphones, but also was it majority of it the length?
It was the length.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So I should have clarified that. I was marking the change when I switched to microphones, but at the same time, we changed the time
right. As
well. Once it dropped from like hour and a half recordings to maybe half an hour.
That's interesting that you lost audience when you went shorter.
Right. Yeah, I was at the time thinking, you know, I'm probably going to lose subscribers, but, you know, maybe I'll get some more because then it's a shorter podcast to consume.
Right.
But I was playing it by ear. I was like, you know what, I have to make the jump. I'm going to see what happens and I'm going to work with it. That's kind of been my philosophy with this is, you know, don't be afraid to try something new. Jump in there, see what works. If it doesn't work out at first, keep going with it. Keep trying to find ways to improve it. Mostly I'm looking for a way to make something that is easier on me because then when I'm able to make a product that I enjoy making, it'll show in the product itself. You know.
So as your audience has adjusted with your changing format, the show has largely changed, stayed the same from the name and so forth
right.
over these past few years. What is your audience saying to you? What is, you know, what type of actual feedback are you getting from the audience as you're making these changes? I'm sure some of it is, hey, you sound better, or you're going shorter and it sucks, or it's going shorter and it's good, or... You know, what kind of, because I've always told podcasters, if you're going to make format changes, do them small and incremental changes. So you've made some pretty radical changes to your show. So, you know, I can understand maybe losing some audience, but what has the audience that stayed with you? What have they said?
Well, I've been fortunate enough to have a pretty positive audience. no one's really come out and said, hey, this sucks, or hey, you should do this again. I've mostly noticed it in just kind of passive changes in the show's audience itself. But mostly the feedback I get is mostly positive. A lot of people are like, hey, this show's good. You know, I like listening to it every now and then. But I don't have a lot of, I guess audience isn't as big as a lot of other shows. But the feedback I do get, I'm very grateful for, because they're like, hey, you're doing a good job with this. Keep going with it. That's basically the takeaway I'm getting from it is I'm making a good product now, but I have to keep with it if I want to keep my audience and get more feedback.
Yep. So, you know, you've been at this a while. You've done several shows. You started young. You've had exposure. You know, has podcasting had a influence on your education path?
Oh, yeah, I'd say it really does. Growing up, I wanted to do more writing. Growing up, I loved writing stories, making up things. Partly why I started a podcast, because I just like talking for a long time. But as I started doing podcasting and learning the ways of the audio, I guess, it's made me think, you know, I actually do really enjoy doing this, and I like creating things. Not so much different than writing, in a sense that I'm still creating something that I'm passionate about, and I'm making a product that I want others to enjoy. So it's made me lean toward a career in audio or video production. That's what I'm studying for now. I'm looking to transfer to a communications degree in digital communications. That really did stem from podcasting and video making, because I didn't mention it before, but I do as well do YouTube, just as a hobby, nothing as serious as the podcast. But it's something that I've been using as a tool to improve my skills as an editor.
Sure.
And as a content producer. And I'm hoping to study that more and learn more as I go on. And that really did stem from podcasting, because I was like, you know, I listen to a lot of these professional podcasts, and I'm like, I want to have that kind of quality audio. I want to have that kind of quality editing as well, which is what gives me the drive to keep doing this as a learning process.
So what then is, you know, what doors have been opened to you because of this then? So, you know, are you getting recognized? Have you had some opportunities that have cropped up because of doing the podcast?
Yeah, I would say that it has opened up some opportunities for me. I was able to, in PodFest itself, it was just a whole slew of opportunities, because I was able to attend so many panels and meet so many great people, make some connections. I was able to connect with William Coldwell, who does the 21st Rewrite. He guested on my show, and I was able to interview him. And I learned more about how other people do their podcasts as well. Because he started about, I want to say, a year ago or so. At this point, it'd be about a year, 2 years ago. And it's opened up a way for me to gain connections with people who I can relate with, you know, people who are in the same hobby as me, and I can learn from them, maybe even teach them some things, people who are just starting out. And I'd like to say it does open up some career opportunities as well. I hope maybe to use the podcast on the resume at some point in my future and get a regular job in a studio at some point.
Sure. So as a 20-year-old doing podcasts, when you talk to your friends and people that you meet at school that you're doing a podcast, what's the reaction? Because I'm kind of curious. You know, we're hearing that the 18 to 25-year-old range folks are listening to a lot of podcasts right now. What's your exposure on that?
As I gotten older, I found out that more people actually are familiar with podcasts. Back when I started Nintendo Teens back in 2013, I'll tell people, hey, I'm doing this podcast. And they're like, what now? I was like, a podcast. What's a podcast? Well, and it would start off from there. But as I've been getting older, I found that I don't actually have to explain what a podcast is anymore. And that's great.
Yep.
Because I can just say, hey, this is podcast. They instantly clicks with them. You're like, oh, okay, cool. What's your podcast name? Oh, it's Geek Command. Oh, here's my card. And it feels good, you know, to be able to show people something that I'm doing, and they automatically, you know, they know what I'm talking about. And I have gotten some good feedback from you know, growing up in high school and college, showing people my podcast, and they're like, okay, hey, this is pretty cool. I'll listen to more of it. Keep up the great work. And it feels good. It really keeps my spirits up, and it's what keeps me going producing podcasts. And even in some cases, and Nick has told me this before, it has inspired other people my age to start doing podcasts themselves. I have had some people come up to me at school and work asking, hey, this podcast is pretty cool. I'm looking to maybe start one myself. Do you have any tips for me? Anything I should be really looking out for? And that's also great as well, because I love helping people out, especially with things I'm knowledgeable of. It's kind of a good feeling, because you're like, hey, I can help this person do what I love to do. And it's a great feeling.
Tommy, I think you're in a position here to be able to capitalize. You know, you've got essentially, you know, a decade's worth of exposure, and, you know, now a number of years of experience doing shows. So it's, you know, as you start to perfect your craft and you work on production, you know, I think that you've got a huge opportunity ahead of you from a content standpoint. And even if the show may change and your taste may change over time, you've got this background knowledge of, you know, having done a podcast and what value there is to it, and it's how it's helped you. So I think you're in a good spot here, and it's unique. I can't even imagine, you know, I think of where I was as a 18, 19, 20-year-old, you know, back in the day, back in the Stone Age. I don't think that I had any, if I'd have heard about someone creating content online, I just don't know if it would have resonated with me. You know, obviously it was, you know, it was a different time, but still, if someone had come up to me and said, hey, we've got an opportunity for you to be on the radio, I'd have been looked at them like thought they were from Mars. So it's definitely a different time, and it's amazing what the potential is here. So as we're getting ready to wrap down the interview, what's the best way for folks to find you? How, you know, what's the show's website and all your social, all that stuff?
Okay. So the Cube Command podcast, that's CUBECOMMAND. You can find it on our website, www.cubecommand.com. That's where we post all our podcasts, and there's a bunch of links for other places where you can find our show. It's also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and a lot of other great podcast apps. We're in a lot of places. And, you know, we also have a YouTube channel as well under the same name, and a Twitch channel. We're trying to get used to the streaming thing. You know, we're still learning, but we're getting there. We post our episodes on our website usually every Monday, just because we're both working, we're both in college. So sometimes it might be posted on a Tuesday, maybe, but we usually go for Monday mornings at 10 a.m.
Outstanding. So, Tommy, thanks for spending time with me here on the Podcast Insider Show, and thank you for sharing your story. Looking forward to watching your journey as you continue, and who knows, maybe you'll be running the helm of some podcasting company in the future.
Hey.
there you go.
That'd be awesome.
All right, sir. Hey, thank you so much for being on. And again, Tommy Savoia from the Cube Command podcast at cubecommand.com. Tommy, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks again to Tommy for coming on the show. And again, we've got open spots now for those of you that would like to be on Podcast Insider. But Mike, you got some support stuff going on. What's happening here?
Yeah, one of these, the first one there on the list is Dave, our other support guy in Indiana there. He says, you know, how many times does he have to tell somebody that, your MP3 file isn't playing properly or something's wrong with your post? So what he suggests, and I do too, and Sean as well, we all suggest that when you publish your episode, first thing you should do is hit play on your player. Make sure it plays, because if it doesn't play there, it's not going anywhere. And then troubleshoot from there. You know, weird things happen sometimes. Sometimes the upload gets corrupted. You know, no matter where you're uploading it, it's just a feature of the internet. Or is that a bug? But anyway, check that. Make sure that your player plays, because that is the first thing you want to check. And then, of course, I always say subscribe to your own show in whatever, you know, podcast app you use, preferably Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. Spotify doesn't work exactly the same, obviously. But just make sure that you're subscribed to your own show, and if you get it, it'll work.
Mike, they call that a glitch.
Yes.
Not a bug. Glitch. It's a glitch.
Okay.
The internet is full of glitches. And I've had episodes, too, that I uploaded and checked and something happened. And, yes, always check your episode when you upload. It's rare, but it does happen from time to time. Certainly. Also, we've been hearing grumblings of some Apple updating issues. What's going on there?
Yeah, Apple's, and they admitted it through back channels, but Apple, their directory was having a little bit of a problem updating with new episodes, or a new episode would show up and then disappear again right away. That doesn't mean it's not available in the feed, and it does not mean it's not available to people subscribed in Apple Podcasts. The only thing that that's affecting is the directory listing at Apple.
Yeah, so that's it goes back to making sure that you are subscribed to your own show, and once you see it there, you're good.
Yeah, well, you know, us at the support team were taking a lot of abuse over the weekend because, you know, well, my show's not an Apple podcast, and I'm paying you to, you know. And I was like, oh, dude, come on.
Apple's having trouble, you know. And I think what it is we have all, you know, literally thousands of customers, and not everyone listens to the show.
Yes, exactly.
So what you can do as a podcaster that is listening to this show is you can help us always. You know, if you have, you know, if podcasts are not updating on Apple Podcasts, you know, you've heard us talk about this a number of times. Get in there and add your commentary in the forums or wherever you may see someone's having an issue. And we can all work together to help new podcasters understand that everything doesn't work, you know, immediately all the time. So. Yep. Especially when it comes to Apple pulling your podcast and updating their directory listing.
Yep. And we did mention last week that we were having some Spotify updating issues as well. That is mostly solved, I'm told. So, but if you're still having issues with Spotify and you submitted through Blueberry, go ahead and contact us and we'll see what we can do. I think it's mostly fixed, but I just wanted to mention it here.
Yeah, and I think the team is real close as well as to implementing pass-through. We're going through and doing, and we're having to do a lot of back processing because we're having to update literally thousands of, or converting thousands of M4A files to MP3. And as we talked about in the recent show, that we have to be able to provide Spotify MP3s for your show when we go to pass through, because they were converting them anyway from M4A to MP3. So I just want to remind you of that. I'm sure we're going to get people saying, "Hey, I see an MP3 in my stats. Why is that there?" And we'll be explaining that and reminding folks as we go to pass through. And again, I don't have an exact time and date. The team wants to make sure it's ready. You know, we get one shot at this and making this flip over, and we don't want to cause any outages. Also, let's talk about when you sign up for hosting at Blueberry. What's going on there?
Well, it just seems like a lot of people now, they sign up for Blueberry, and then they immediately contact support. Well, how do I get started? Well, there's a welcome email that you got, and you will get it if you didn't get it right away, but you'll get it. And in there is a couple of videos. One video is whether if you're going to use PowerPress, either on your own site or one of our PowerPress sites. We'll take you right through soup to nuts, what you have to do to get it all the way from uploading it, setting up the feed, getting it on Apple and all the other directories, all that. And that video will get you there. There's also another video for if you're not going to use PowerPress, you're just going to use Blueberry, and it shows you the same stuff, only using Blueberry's generator. And the thing is we'll get a phone call or an email and say, "What do I do now?" And we're making that better. We're working on that. But if you watch that video, I promise you, you'll know more about podcasting than you thought you ever could. And it'll get you off on the right foot. And then if you have specific questions, get a hold of us. This stuff can be complicated. It's not complicated, but you have to get in the mindset. And it's probably a bad example, but I always tell people it's no worse than filling out your taxes. I know that's terrible. That's terrible. But
no, because that makes all of us shudder. Makes me shudder. Mike, I think really the point is too is we know that people today are not all, especially younger generation.
We're not
they are
techie
not,
as we were used to be.
No, not even that. They don't read email. They don't check email. And that we have to remember as well. So maybe, on your guys' support response, just cut and paste that same welcome message back to them, because I'm here to tell you, we got people in our own office that outside of work, they don't read email. Yeah. So I think it's just maybe a generation thing too. So something we should consider and go to the drawing board on, see how we can fix. Maybe we can send them a text message.
Oh, yeah. There we go. but no, I was just, like I said, it's not that. We mind you asking the question. Don't worry about that. That's what we're here for. But, I think it would, especially like say it happens on a Friday and you're trying to call us all weekend. And of course we're not around on the weekend for phone calls. We are emails and tickets. And, I know it gets frustrating, because we offer so many choices, and choice is a good thing in one respect, but it can just be a little bit more convoluted than you're used to. And
we're
here to help.
Definitely making major, as you guys will see when PowerPress 8.2 is released, I think what you'll see is we're really working on our entire flow. And we are going to start seeing this in the dashboard as well. And I'm hoping that in the next couple of months, we're able to get through most of that. It's going a little slower than I hope for, but they're taking their time to make sure we get this right, so that when people are being onboarded, there's less of these types of, we're trying to make it very, very simple. I hate to use the easy button phrase, because that's been killed in overhype for years, but we are truly trying to make it easy. But that's, Mike, what you're there for. We've got the phones available 9 to 7 Eastern, Monday through Friday. And of course, Monday through Thursday and 9 to 5 on Friday. And of course, as we remind everyone, no other hosting company even has phone support. So that, Mike, you get to get the calls and.
Yeah. And, and believe me, we don't mind it. That's what we're here for. And, I don't want you to be discouraged. If you have a question, please get a hold of us. I'd much rather you get a hold of us than just complain about it or go away,
Yeah.
We're all ears. We wanna help.
That's gonna bring us to the end here of this edition of Podcast Insider. I want to thank all of you for being customers. I want to thank all of you for listening. If you have comments about the show or things we should talk about, please let us know. I'm Todd at blueberry.com. Mike is Mike at blueberry.com, and Mackenzie is Mackenzie at blueberry.com. And we want to hear from both the men and the ladies out there. We want you both to get exposure on the show here. So all you got to do is say, hey, I'd like to be on the show. We want to hear your Genesis story or your things that you're doing in podcasting. It's important to us so that the rest of our audience can also get a feel that you're having, they're having the same challenges or same success or some of the same experiences. That's what it's all about in doing these interviews with guests and why we like to bring them to you. All these folks are good Blueberry partners. Everyone's a great Blueberry partner, but I'm just saying that these are folks that have embraced the Blueberry way of podcasting, and we love to bring their stories to you. Mike, anything else?
No, everybody have a good week, and we've got a really good interview next week as well.
All right. Thank you so much, folks. We'll see you next week here on Podcast Insider. Take care. Bye-bye.